Up next, Stanley Hatzell. He is no stranger to the Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Every week, Stanley brings us a stack of books that we can curl up with to read, especially in these really cold days. Welcome back to the studio, Stanley.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So what do you got for us today?
Well, I want to talk about the ultimate book, and then everything comes from this. And I want to talk about Moby Dick, but not just Moby Dick, but this book by Nathaniel Philbrick called Why Read Moby Dick. And I'll basically reveal a little bit of it. He says that Moby Dick is a novel that really is relevant to United States at any time you read it. You can see passages that reflect the time that we're going through. And I think Moby Dick is really an amazing experience. And if you realize when you start reading the book, it's like going out to sea, you can kind of go for the long haul. It is a big, long book for most people. And it's 19th century English, American English, and it challenges folks. But this book really can say a lot to folks. And on that, I want to give you a freebie here. There is a webpage called MobyDickBigRead.com, MobyDickBigRead.com. This is an audio version of Moby Dick, all 135 chapters plus the epilogue. Every chapter is read by a different person. Some of them are celebrities. Some of them are, one's a sea captain, a couple are sailors. And you get this different tone. You get women's voices, you get men's voices. It starts out with Tilda Swinton reading the first chapter. And the first chapter, just you get this point of view from Ishmael, who says, you know, I have this need to go out to sea. And he talks about how even just regular people are drawn to the sea all the time. And that sets this tone for the call of the sea and ocean and water. And I get excited about Moby Dick.
I can tell.
Right now, we had a book discussion at the bookstore a couple of years back about Moby Dick, and it was an amazing 2 or 3 hour discussion. People had so many points of view. Herman Melville, who wrote Moby Dick, lived here in Troy. He taught at the Academy, which is now the Lansingburg Library. His house is here in Lansingburg. And so there's a local connection to Moby Dick to begin with. I think he wrote some chapters here in the area. So besides that, this is a big, expansive book, and the audiobook is just beautiful. You do feel like you're going out, you're leaving all this behind as you enter into the story. So if a lot of people have been turned off by Moby Dick because it looks so big and so daunting, but If you enter this into this nice journey you're going to go on, it may not be so nice at times, because Ahab is quite a wing job, and Queequeg is certainly very interesting as a companion. I can't say enough about it, but explore. This webpage, the Moby Dick Big Read, is an elegant webpage. Every chapter has its own piece of authentic artwork for the thing, and there's references throughout that people are still hunting whales, and this should stop. It's a very honorable webpage and beautifully done. So because I'm going to start with Moby Dick, everything else becomes an adventure story like Moby Dick, including Star Wars. You know, in a galaxy far, far away, it can be the same as in a boat across many oceans to look for whales.
I like this one. This one looks like it's got good pictures.
Take a look at this. This is the DK's Star Wars Last Jedi Visual Dictionary. Now, Dorling Kindersley is this publisher, and this is their skill set. They do amazing photography and spreads, highly graphic, visually colorful.
Oh, it does look good in here.
And even if you don't like the Star Wars movies, you'll see something about this book that will draw you in. I'm not a big fan. I like the first couple of ones, but I'd rather read a book.
Oh my gosh.
I really would rather read a book.
Man, Stanley.
I know. The older I get, the more I want to read. I don't want my time tied up looking at screens. So I had two other books I was going to bring, but we sold out over the weekend, so I couldn't bring them. One was The Physics of Star Wars, and you'll have to come by and take a peek at it when it comes back in stock. And the second one is called William Shakespeare's The Force Doth Awaken, Star Wars Part the Seventh. And this is the story of the Force Awakens done in Shakespearean rhyme, and it's beautiful. It's really fun, and it's a good small format. You have to see it.
That's great. Like, one of the coolest things about Star Wars is the whole universe around it. So these kinds of books are a really great way to, it like enhances your movie going experience.
Sure.
Way
and that's certainly the point of this big, it's a large book with a big red scary guy soldier in the middle covered in red uniform.
That's one of Emperor Snoke's
throne
guards. Yeah.
Thanks for that footnote. I appreciate it. This is Star Trek is next because I was a big fan of the Next Generation Star Trek series, and this is the autobiography of Jean-Luc Picard, and of course, you know, it's not written by Jean-Luc Picard, but it's the story of one of Starfleet's most inspirational captains, and the introduction is done by Dr. Crusher, and in the middle of it, this is really nerdy. I'm sorry to go off like this, but Q interrupts the conversation because he's bored by her going on about how wonderful Jean-Luc Picard is. It's really funny, and it does cover all the story of his life, if you're a fan. If you're not a fan, you're looking at me saying, what the heck? Sorry.
That sounds really, really good.
They did another one earlier on the autobiography of James T. Kirk.
Did Patrick Stewart, was he involved in the writing of this one?
I don't believe so.
Just got his picture on the back.
Yeah.
Oh, it is his picture.
So, total topic shift. Now, since my feet have been cold all day long, I brought a book on soup and bread.
I've been looking for one of these.
It's called Easy Soups from Scratch with Quick Breads to Match, and it's 70 recipes to pair and to share. It really, it's just what we need today. This is what I needed today because I have not warmed up yet.
These soups look so good. They look so tasty. Nothing better than, like, food porn. Just look at pictures of yummy food.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I do anyway. I have way too many cookbooks for an apartment my size. It's really. And along with food, I have this thing called Feast Your Eyes, and this is really just porn. It's on the cover is sliced citrus fruits ranged in color gradations.
I think this is a trend because I've seen other books like this, just beautifully colored things arranged neatly.
Right.
Well, and it really satisfies that.
Apparently, she had a really unsatisfying job, so she started taking up cooking as a hobby, and then she began to see all these color things. So she has this Instagram account. If you go to hashtag food gradients, you can see all these pictures that she's posted.
There's one picture in here that I think is particularly cool. It's like burnt toast.
Yeah.
And it gets like less and less burnt down the page.
Yeah. It's really a fun book. They would make great posters. There's a little bit of everything in there, from fruits, vegetables, and popsicles are in there too.
It seems like a fun gardening project, potentially, to grow different varieties of things, arrange them beautifully, take a picture, put it on the internet.
I like that idea. I wonder if my neighbor Sid is listening to that. Really, you have to come by and see this book, because we can talk about it on the radio, and you want to lick the cover, but it's not something that's really meant for radio, but that's okay. That's the beauty of radio. We can talk about it. And look at how pretty and lemony the inside flap
those
is,
popsicles,
too.
Popsicles. All those different colors. They just look so fresh.
Oh, and then we open. There's like 18 different kinds of rice on this page. So you can't. It's so whatever your favorite food vice is, you can find it beautifully arranged in this book.
All right. I'm going to bring you. Excuse me, I had to lean down here. I have a couple of novels, but I want to bring up this Atlas Obscura.
I've been looking at that book for a while.
This has been around for a little while, and it weighs a ton, by the way. So this is it's called The Explorer's Guide to the World's Hidden Wonders by Joshua Foer, Dylan Thuris, and Ella Morton. It's a guidebook of weird places to go.
Yeah, and I literally just told my granny about this book like 4 days ago.
Oh, yeah?
She was like, I think I'm going to get books for everyone for Christmas this year, that is the book I requested. I was like,
really?
Oh, well, get me Atlas Obscura, because I've been looking at it, and
you know,
I think it'd be a cool book.
It has places like these glowworm caves you can go to, or this stalactite organ that you can hear, and these... In Spain, they have a baby jumping festival where they leap over babies lying down on the ground. They're squirming.
Well, that's better than trying to have babies jump over things. I don't think that would be as compelling.
They would probably catapult them and not have them leap.
Right.
But it's a wild book. There's even the only mummy in the United States is in Vermont. or was in Vermont. I think it might have been returned. But
exhumed?
No, were sent. Apparently, whoever had it, and I can't think of who, it may have been Rudyard Kipling, who lived in Vermont.
Oh.
Might have some connection. I forget now. I'm sorry if I'm screwing this up, whoever's story this is. But it was in a cave in Vermont, and this guy kept it there. It's like a 3,000 or 5,000-year-old mummy.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of weird things. There is a... in Turkmenistan, there's a 40-year-old hole of fire. A 40-year hole of fire they call the Gates of Hell. There's a graveyard in Bangladesh for decommissioned ships. I actually would like to see that. I'm kind of a dork for things like that. Trains and ships and boats.
A nautical theme I'm sensing from you.
That's right. Let's go with Moby Dick. It all goes back to Moby Dick.
Everything goes back to Moby Dick.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's definitely obscure. I lived abroad for a while, and I was looking. I lived in Prague, and there's two places to go that I hadn't heard of to go to. Oh, so
it's really the weirdest of the weird.
Marketing checks out.
Get your bucket list and check it. Use this book to figure out where your next weird trip is going to be. So while you're looking at that, I'm going to go on to two novels if I can squeeze these in. The first one is The Future Home of the Living God by Louise Erdrich, who is an Ojibwa woman. She's a really phenomenal writer. This one is a dystopian thing where evolution is going backward. So when anyone gives birth to the child is actually a previous species of human than used to be. And it's freaking everybody out, and you know, religious fanatics are going crazy. And this one young girl who is native Ojibwe is pregnant, and she wants to go find her mother and her, because she was adopted by a family in Minnesota.
Unfortunately, Stanley, we are totally out of time, but maybe you'll save that last book for next week.
Always.